Welcome to the Bible Explained. I'm Brian Cutshaw, and I want to give you answers straight from the Bible. If you've ever wondered what the Bible actually says about the topics people are talking about right now, this podcast is for you. In each episode, we will take real-life questions and break down what the Scripture says about them so you can understand the truth and apply it to your life with confidence. If you enjoy it, be sure and subscribe and recommend us to your friends. Now let's get started.
There are moments in Scripture that are so powerful or so sacred that we tend to isolate them and celebrate them as events. We can name a lot of those, but one of those obviously would be the resurrection of Christ. We gather just to celebrate the resurrection. We write songs just to sing about the resurrection. We preach sermons just to tell the story again about the resurrection of Christ. But have you ever stopped to consider that it was more than just a resurrection? It was also a scheduled event. It didn't surprise God that Jesus died on the cross, and didn't surprise God that Jesus rose from the dead. No, it was actually scheduled from the foundation of the world. Not only was it scheduled for thousands of years, it was rehearsed. There was a play that was rehearsed over and over and over again. Your Bible might call it holy convocations, but the Hebrew word there would be holy rehearsals. So they were rehearsing a scene that would one day take place when it was played out on the stage of humankind, these holy rehearsals. From the foundation of the earth, God created these convocations. They made seven feasts in all. We're not going to talk about all of those. We're only going to talk about three of them. And we're in the spring feast now, and it will lead us to the fourth spring feast, 50 days from now, well, not from now, but from this past Sunday, where we will hit the day of Pentecost. But when God set up these holy rehearsals, he gave them names. He gave them names like the Feast of Passover. That, you'll see tonight, was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross. Then he gave them the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was fulfilled when Christ went into the heart of the earth and was buried in the heart of the earth and took away our sins. And then the Feast of First Fruits, which was fulfilled when Jesus rose from the dead. And then we will have the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, which will be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. They were not just fulfilled. They were fulfilled on the exact day at the exact time. Not coincidental, no. No, as a matter of fact, Jesus was chosen at the same time that every Jewish father was choosing the lambs. Jesus was crucified at the same time that every Jewish father was slaying the lambs. So everything that Jesus did was not only, everything the Jewish people were doing in these rehearsals were not just rehearsals, it was fulfilled with exact precision on the exact day, and this is what cannot be coincidental, at the exact same time. It was an amazing display of accuracy to let us know that it was not coincidental that Jesus was born, died, and rose from the dead. So let's walk through these feasts quickly tonight, as quickly as we can. Let's go with the first one, which is Passover. And let's look at the scene of the very first Passover when the Lord set this rehearsal in motion. You can find this in the Bible in the book of Exodus chapter 12. Verse 3 says to this, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb." Now, here's the first thing you need to understand. The lamb had to be chosen first at a particular time. Notice he says on the 10th day of the month. So on a particular day, you go into the flock and you separate one of the lambs and you set them aside in a fence by themselves for 4 days. Okay? This is very precise instruction from the Lord. The lamb shall be, verse 5, without blemish, a male in the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, because the goats represented the poorer families that could not afford a lamb. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. The lintel will be the top of the door. So you're putting it on the sides of the door and the top of the door in three different places. And of course, it would drip down to the floor. So you're going to see blood in four places, kind of like this. Head, hands, and feet. That's kind of what it looked like in the places where the blood fell. And so he said, I want you to put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintel, and then they shall eat it. So the first thing they had to do is choose the lamb. They chose a lamb that was a male in the prime of its life. That's why it had to be done as a male in its first year, in the prime of its life. Now, interestingly enough, at the same exact hour that every Jewish man was instructed by this law to choose the lamb, Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem in a moment that we call the triumphant entry of Christ, or some may know it better as Palm Sunday. And why do we call it Palm Sunday? Because when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they threw the palm branches on the ground. So some churches celebrate this by waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which happens to mean Lord, save us. But it wasn't coincidental that at the same time that Jesus is riding the donkey and the foal of a donkey, and that's another sermon for another day because there was two donkeys, one beside the other, two generations, and that's a sermon for Nick Walker to preach. He can preach that one later. But whenever Jesus came into Jerusalem and they waved the palm branches saying, Lord, save us, you know what? Let me just give it away. Can I just do that? The first crowd said, Lord, save us, and Jesus went to the temple, and he saw what they were doing, buying and selling in the temple, and got angry, and he was getting ready to leave, but the young children came in and said the same thing, Lord, save us. And the Lord said, it's your parents that are doing this, but I'm not going to punish the next generation. And he broke out into a prayer meeting and healed everybody in Jerusalem that came to him that day, because the next generation cried out, save us.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So it's interesting that at the very same time that they're choosing their lamb, God is choosing his lamb. He is sending Christ through the triumphant entry of Christ down the streets of Jerusalem, and they're crying out, Lord, save us. Now, it's interesting also that when John the Baptist, the first cousin of Jesus, introduces Jesus when he comes for his baptism, he doesn't say, hey, cousin. He doesn't say that at all. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So this is how Passover was celebrated. Now, the word Passover gets its name from this scene that we just saw, where he said to put the blood on the door, and then the death angel that is coming through Egypt, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So it was the blood of the lamb that caused the death angel not to visit that house, because the firstborn was taken from every home as a plague upon the Egyptians. But the Lord said, if you take the blood of the lamb in its first year and you put that blood on the lintel of your house, when I see the blood, I will pass over that house and no one will be harmed in that house. So therefore we have the word Passover. But it was more than just a door, because when Jesus comes, Jesus declares something to them. He says in John 10 and 9, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. And then he says something that all of us need to know. The thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise tonight for abundant life? Now, what's interesting about this is this: all of this has to be played out on particular days at particular times of the day. So he says to them, keep the lamb separate for 4 days. In verse 12, chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day. So, you know, they chose it on the 10th day. They keep it to the 14th day. That's 4 days later. And I want you to kill it at twilight. Now, understand that Jewish days are different from our days. They're on a lunar calendar, and we're on a solar calendar. But secondly, when God said the evening and the morning were the first day, they took it literal. So the Jewish day starts at the evening, and it ends at the evening of the next day. So the evening for them is the morning, and the morning for them is the midday and the evening. So it's kind of backwards. So when the Lord says to kill it at twilight, that's between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. And what's interesting is that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the same day they were keeping the lamb. They keep him for 4 days, and between 3 and 4 in the afternoon on the fourth day, they take the lamb out and cut its throat and drain its blood for the salvation of that family. Guess what happens on the fourth day after Jesus rides to Jerusalem? 4 days later, after he was chosen, at twilight, at the exact same hour that every Jewish father is preparing the lamb for the Seder meal, Jesus is being crucified on the cross. Tell me that is not coincidence. No, God scheduled this, and it had been rehearsed over and over and over again, not just coincidence. You may ask the question, well, why did Jesus have to die? Well, the Bible says that he died for one reason, to remove our sins. Because the word sin means to miss the mark or to be separated from God. It's things in the world that cause us to choose ourselves instead of God. And so Jesus died to remove that from our life. Because sin does more than control you. Sin destroys you. After a while, you become your own God. After a while, you have no God. You have no voice but your own. And so the ultimate issue of sin is that it ends in self-centeredness, and it ends in self-preservation, and it ends in selfishness. That is, if you, I don't know how you would say this other than if you would, my grandmother used to say, boil it down to the bottom. So if you boil it down to the bottom, on the bottom, you would find selfishness at the bottom of sin. I choose myself over God. So the Lord came to destroy that and to take all of that away. One songwriter said it this way. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, and find in me thine all in all. Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, and my lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's why Jesus had to die for you, so that your sins could be removed and you could be washed white as snow. Yes, Jesus paid it all. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and Jesus will not only be your Savior. You know, I love that idea that Jesus is my Savior, because we often think that he saved us from our sins. But think about this. How many times has he really saved you? I don't just mean from your sin. Has he ever saved you from yourself? Has he ever saved you from an enemy? Has he ever saved you from a mental war? Has he ever saved you from discouragement? Has he ever saved you from mourning? Has he ever saved you out of grief? Yes, he bore my sins, yes, but he did more than that for me. He carried my grief. He signed my pardon. He paid my price. One writer said he paid my ransom. He bore my shame in his own nakedness. He paid for my sins so that I would not have to live in sin. He conquered my enemies. He spoiled the principalities. He thwarted Satan's plans. He became the ultimate sacrifice. He took my place. He let them nail his hands so that I could lift my hands. He let them nail his feet so I could dance on my feet and put the enemies under my feet. He let them put a crown on his head so that I could wear a crown of righteousness on my head. He let them beat his back with stripes so that by his stripes I am healed. He let them take his blood, because by his blood I have been redeemed. Yes, Jesus paid it all. That's the Passover. He'll pass over you. Hallelujah.
If you're enjoying the Bible Explained, follow the podcast and leave a quick review. It helps us get these teachings in front of more people who need them. If you would like to partner with us in ministry, go to briancutshaw.com and sign up today.